Mike Podcast, Mental Health for the Culture.
We address real life topics and brainstorm real solutions.
This podcast is meant to be informational and not to serve as a personal counseling session. If you feel that you have some mental health issues that need to be addressed, please find a counselor near you.
Hey, Nedra.
Hey, Kendra.
All right, we are here at another episode. Now, before we get into our usual topics, I wanted to flip the script a little bit and talk about some of our projects and things that we're working on up front instead of at the end of the episode. All right. So what I want to talk about is my wordplay crossword puzzle book. It is officially out and up for sale. And I have it on my website, which is www.kendratsays.com. And also, I'm going to be selling it at local Charlotte venues. Like, there was a festival recently called A Vibe Called Fresh and things like that. And the reason why I wanted to make a crossword puzzle book, real quickly, is because I love crossword puzzles. They're, like, relaxing and yet stimulating at the same time. And, you know, there are a lot of good self-care benefits to doing crosswords. Like, it's a brain teaser, and doing brain teasers and things is good for stretching your brain cells a little bit. And also, it keeps the plaque in your brain from building up that is linked to Alzheimer's. So, my crossword puzzle book might prevent Alzheimer's. All right. That is one of the benefits. And so it's up for sale. Like I said, it is wordplay crossword puzzle book. It is a different world themed and also 90s hip hop and R&B culture. Like, all that's in there, all the stuff I like. So that's what I want to talk about. Nedra, what do you have going on right now?
I have a group for women who are from unhealthy families. My group starts October 20th. By the time this airs, it'll be the beginning of October, so there is still time. I have a few spots left. I have like two spots. There is a pre-screen that folks will have to do if they want to be in the group. You need to be in the Charlotte area, and it will be every other Saturday for six sessions. What else do I have going on? I have my planner, the Empowered Planner, which is available on my website, NedraTawab.com, and follow me on Instagram at NedraTawab.
Oh, and I'm on Instagram too. I forgot to say that part. I am KendraT.the.slp for Speech Language Pathologist, and also Wordplay Crossword Puzzle Book. Two accounts on Instagram that I'm trying to manage. All right, so let's get into let's get into this episode's newsworthy. So in the news recently, very, very recently, Bill Cosby was sentenced to a 3 to 10 year prison term. And also, I had heard about him being labeled as a sexual predator personality disorder. Have you not heard that?
I have never heard of that, and I'm a mental health therapist.
Is that accurate? Well, like, that was going to be my question to you. Is that, like, some new, not quite in the DSM, or new diagnosis out there in the streets?
Maybe it's, like, one of those personality disorders not otherwise specified. Mm-hmm. And so they just put these words on it, but what is it called?
I have sexual predator personality disorder.
Okay. I will have to look that up. I cannot say that absolutely is not true. I've not heard of it, and I use my DSM often.
It's your Bible.
I think that's like a not otherwise specified sort of thing, and they just put some words to it. And it could be one of those things that they, you know, in the back they will put, these are things that we're thinking about adding next time sort of stuff, and that could
next
be...
Next time on the DSM.
Or next time in the DSM. You know, it could be one of those things that they're maybe considering, and they haven't yet included, so...
Now, I will say... From my understanding, it was the prosecution who suggested that this is his label. And so when I first heard it, I'm thinking, okay, the prosecution is the one who goes against the person, right? Like, they're the state, and they're going against Bill Cosby. Because at first I was thinking, well, I guess you could say he has this, and then if you label it as a mental illness, then you could reasonably argue, well, he has a mental illness, and this is what caused him to do all these acts, and maybe, you know, plead for lesser jail time or something.
But then
I heard it was the prosecutor, so.
It could have been, he could have been antisocial personality disorder for sure. formerly known as sociopathic personality disorder.
What?
That's
when did
not
that
what
happened.
They changed it like two DSMs ago. But anyways, yeah, I think he could have been that. I mean, there is some component of having disregard for people's feelings and having, you know, this keen ability to lie to people around you. So I feel like he could have fallen under that category for sure. But I don't know, maybe because that sexual piece wasn't there, it wasn't juicy enough. So they had to come up with another name.
Yeah.
But I think often in the media, people come up with names for stuff. Like I had a family member call me like, have you heard of manic depressive such and such? And I'm like, that is not a thing. Like there is no such thing as like manic depressive disorder. I'm like, you can have like manic symptoms with bipolar disorder, you know, but sometimes even on these drug commercials, they'll say like keywords that would key you in to having something, but it's not really a real thing. So I don't know.
Yeah. And I guess it's like the sexual predator part because like, you know, because of like his actions, you know, being a predator and taking away, allegedly taking
away.
And by
doing it to so many people.
So many
and,
times,
yeah.
repeatedly, yeah. and then still in denial of what's happened, yet all these stories are out and similar of saying that he did this to these women. So yeah, I thought that was interesting. And then also, so I guess in relation to that, but maybe separate from that, the Kavanaugh confirmation hearings with the Senate, or not the Senate, the Supreme Court Justice. So there's a Supreme Court Justice open seat, and Trump nominated Brett Kavanaugh. Well, as you know, whenever someone is nominated, they have to be vetted pretty much and investigated. I don't know how deep they go with this investigation, but somewhere during this period, a woman came out, Dr. Ford, and she says that back in high school, about 30 years ago, that he and a few other classmates attempted to gang rape her. And so she tells this whole story. So that all of this has been coming out and being investigated. And then this week, that this last week is when that hearing happened. Now, the statute of limitations means that he can't actually be found guilty, not guilty for it, but it definitely caused him to question his character enough to be able to be a Supreme Court justice in an unbiased way. Like, is he like totally against women or what? And so that has spurned this hashtag going around, hashtag why I didn't report. I don't know if that's as big a thing as hashtag time's up, you know, hashtag me too. But I saw it right around when the trial was airing and everything. And
hashtag why I didn't report.
Yes. And I saw people saying hashtag why
it's
I didn't report.
Hashtag.
Well, it's four words. Okay. Beyonce always on beat. I mean,
oh my gosh, that's a hashtag.
No, it was a hashtag a couple of years ago. Hashtag Beyonce always on beat, where they would play a Beyonce video, yeah, to any song, and she was always on beat. Okay,
that's
anyway,
funny.
So the hashtag why I didn't report, and I was just skimming through some of the stories, and people say hashtag why I didn't report. You know, he was a family friend. He told me that he would tell my mom and she would, you know, disown me and every woman hate me. So I didn't tell anyone.
So I have a lot to say about this because I think when these things happen, there is so much victim shaming around why people didn't tell sooner. Why are people coming forward now? And I think sometimes when there's a threat of them being in a powerful position or them being able to impact other people, that's when people come forward because they feel more comfortable. Or even when folks are no longer in the vulnerable position that they were in when you attacked them. And there is no expiration date on when to come forward, because I think a lot of times people don't come forward for the very reasons that we're so, you know, we, it's like you start to have to be under the scrutiny,
right?
People question you, they peel apart your story, all of these things. And I think lots of folks, they don't want to, you know, they don't want to put themselves through that. And so it takes years and years and years for you to say, okay, I have to say something now.
Yeah.
And so that's a lot of times why people aren't coming forward, in addition to the reasons of he's my cousin, he's my uncle, mm-hmm. he's my friend, he was going to tell my mom, or she was going to do X, Y, and Z. So I think all of those very reasons are, like, super valid. And I think when people do come through or come forward, we have to stop questioning the timing of them saying things.
Right. Yeah. And so that's related to the Kavanaugh situation. Again, this was 30 years ago, but also Bill Cosby situation. Why didn't these women say anything first?
And
then also, and then now there was one. Now all of a sudden they're 60.
And the thing with Bill Cosby that got me is, you know, people try to pull apart these stories like, well, she was a slut. Well, guess what? You know, the folks who suffer the most rapes are prostitutes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Prostitutes.
And people think impossible because
they were about to be paid for sex. Right. But it's like, yeah, I was going to be paid for it, but he took it.
Yeah.
You know, they're a highly abused population and they can't.
And underserved, people don't believe them,
you know, all sorts of stuff. So when you think about all of these stories of, well, Stormy Daniels she's a porn star. This person is that. It's like, none of that stuff really matters. Like, did he take advantage of her? Did he do something against her will? You know, those are the things we have to more so look at.
And so, you know, sex workers do get, villainized mm-hmm. if, you know, you do report something like that. So I was having a conversation with some people that I love about these things, and I lost my shit during the discussion just at the lack of empathy that mm-hmm. you know was mm-hmm. was said, and so what they were questioning was, like you said, questioning, well, why did it take her so long to come out? Or so she was at a party and
people,
I guess,
be thinking they so brave when don't nothing happen to them.
I know,
that's the part.
I know.
Think they're so brave. Like, I would be like, you know, if somebody come up to you and they about to, I mean, you could have all these if somebody robbed me scenarios in your head and what you gonna do. But man, if somebody come up to you, all of that stuff flies out the window.
I know,
because
yes.
you don't even know what your natural response is. And
yeah.
for with sexual abuse in particular, there's so much shame and blame.
Yes. Yes. Self blame, perceived blame from others. And for real blame from others. Like there's a lot. And yeah, like I said, I was like, what are you saying? Like that makes no sense. And so one of my conversation partners has been through an almost sexual assault. So mm-hmm. she was assaulted. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't full rape because it was prevented. Mm-hmm. And so she says, well, I was almost raped. And I was like, okay, who did you tell? You know, mm-hmm. in regards to us saying, well, how come Kavanaugh didn't tell, these women didn't tell, you know? And we had a conversation about you know, mothers and daughters and Cosby's victims being like, how come they didn't tell their mothers or something like that. Anyway, and she says, well, I said, so who did you tell? And she's like, well, I didn't tell anybody because nothing happened. And I'm mm-hmm. like, but did you tell your mother that nothing happened? No. And I'm like, why? Because you knew, felt that she probably would have blamed you in some way or asked, what were you doing over there? Or why were you, you know, there with them? And so even saying that these women are, well, what are you doing going to a hotel room, you know, to meet Bill Cosby? You're asking for trouble. And it's like, no, I can go to a place and meet a man without expecting to be raped. Like, you know?
Right.
And so anyway, yeah, I'm getting all riled up again, just like I said. And so
Kendra, don't hurt him.
My closing remarks in that discussion was like, let's practice the empathy that we pretend that we have and that we claim that we have. You know what I mean? Because like you said, if you haven't been through these things, you can never really say how you're going to react, when you're going to respond, if you're going to tell. And there are reasons why you will or won't tell. Like, you can never really say until it happens to you. Otherwise, you just big and bad. It's like people would say, man, if I was a slave, you know, I would have ran. Like, I wouldn't stuck around for that. And it was like, well, you weren't there. You didn't go through
that.
Well,
if you believe in past lives, you were a slave. And you didn't
most
run.
Most likely. Family don't have a story of a passed down through generations of that one of your great-great-great-great-great who escaped. That means y'all stayed. So, okay, moving on.
to what I'm into. What are you into right now, Dendra?
Well, This Is Us returned this week.
Oh,
so
yeah.
So I caught up on that. It was so lovely.
Was it?
Oh, my God. Oh, it's so good. Like, This Is Us. I just want to hug people. Like, after watching it, it's such a good show. It just puts you in touch with all of your emotions. It's like that show, oh gosh, it pushed you through the ringer. So I'm all caught up on This Is Us. My podcast life right now is, you know, it is what it is. It's what I always listen to, nothing new. Let's see, what else? I'm reading a few different books. I just started the Jennifer Lewis?
Yeah.
The Mother of Black Hollywood. Yeah. So I just started that book officially. And yeah, that's it. I am watching some other things on TV. I'm watching Wentworth, which is sort of like
Orange is
the New Black, but it's serious.
I was gonna say, that sounded
and
familiar.
It's, it's more serious. It's not like, I feel like Orange is the New Black is like a comedy sort mm-hmm. of.
Dark comedy.
Yeah. So it's on Netflix. So I think this is season four.
Yeah. It's Australian too.
It is Australian.
Things
but
always sound more serious. An Australian accent.
It's a really good show. So check it out if you can, if you like prison drama shows. I like those.
I didn't get into that.
What?
Wentworth.
I tried it
because I like Orange is the New
Black. I loved Oz. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, yeah.
Oz was like...
I didn't get a chance to watch the whole thing because we didn't have HBO. But the few episodes I saw, I was like, whoa, this is gritty, man.
Oz was extremely gritty.
It was good stuff.
It's not like that with Wentworth.
Right.
But, yeah.
Women's prison. Okay. Anything else are you into?
Nope. What are you into, Kendra?
So, Atypical came back.
Oh, I forgot about that. Yeah, I watched it.
I'm excited. I really like that show. It's a great depiction. It's a great depiction of, you know, someone on the spectrum, high functioning, and just the life tribulations that you go through. I'm not gonna say tribulations, but the challenges that you go through with having a social disorder. You know, it's basically we've talked about it before, but the main character is in his senior year of high school. He has a girlfriend that he's kind of off and on, you know, with. He has a mom who is learning how to let go of the reins, the tight reins she's had all these years with managing him and his autism. And in her and her marriage, they're going through some things. And he has an older sister who also has her things that she's going through. So it's very interesting. It's a great depiction of, you know, like the little things we don't even think about, like understanding when someone makes a joke at your expense or not, or when someone's being nice to you, or when, you know, just all those interactions with dating. And he has a friend of his who is, he called him Wise. And he gives him all this advice, which turns out to be...
Yeah, it's true, but it just sounds really crazy coming out. It's like...
It sounds crazy because he's also a teenage boy. I mean, he's 19. He's a little bit older than him, so
right.
to him...
Right, and he lives with his roommate, his mom and dad.
Yeah, so, but his advice, you think, like, every time he gives him advice, you're like, cringe. Like, that is, it's so inappropriate, but it's coming from a peer. And the main character, he implements it, and it kind of works out a lot of times.
Most of the time.
It's pretty interesting, but I really like it. And then, so I think we're both reading this book, Influencer,
by Brittany
Hennessy. Yeah, okay, I'm still halfway through it. But, yeah, it's interesting. Teaches you how to set up your social media and do your branding and posting and everything to get yourself labeled or looked at as an influence in whatever your field is.
Mm-hmm.
So that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And then podcast. So Amber Rose's podcast is back.
Mm-hmm.
She took over the Loveline brand with Dr. Chris Donahue. He is a sex therapist, clinical psychologist. I don't know all of the, you know.
Acronyms.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Credentials.
But, yeah. But, you know, he knows a lot about sex and relationships. I know relationships and you know, marriage and family and things like that are one of his specialties, as is yours,
mm-hmm.
with the added sex therapist component. And so they had the Loveline brand podcast, and then that went away for a while. And I just found out that they came back, but under a different name because whatever happened. So it's the Amber Rose Show with Chris Donahue. And I really like that podcast because I like podcasts about sex, relationships, intimacy, mental health, you know, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a good listen.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And that's pretty much all I'm into right now. I haven't gotten back into watching the fall TV shows.
Well, you better get up on This Is Us, because I will be talking about it for sure next time on this podcast.
Yeah, our first episode and then several afterwards were about This Is Us.
It's so good.
What is it? Three episodes on now, mm-hmm. right? Oh, man. We got some. Well, see, you know, I got to wait for my dude, you know, to watch. But football season, that kind of like gets in the way of us watching together. It slows us down a little bit with that. But I will catch up. Okay. Let's get into the main topic of today, which is.
Go ahead, Kendra.
Oh, I didn't pull up the full title. You did.
Oh. So today we are going to be referencing
Napoli Ever After.
Napoli Ever After, which tell
is
them
a,
about Napoli
okay,
Ever.
Okay, yes, while you get that. Napoli Ever After is a Netflix movie that came out last week, and it has Sanaa Lathan and Lynn Whitfield and Ernie Hudson and Who's the guy?
That was his name.
Yeah, Ernie. And
they don't matter. I mean, they matter, but
what's the other guy?
What's the movie about?
Okay, so the movie is about a woman who, in being passed down from her mom, has had so much of her self-worth placed in her hair. And not just in any old hairstyle, but a straightened, polished, well-put-together hairstyle that goes with the whole straightened, polished, well-put-together look. And so the way that she lives her life now as an adult in marketing is she puts on this, you know, I'm a polished, put together, strong black woman. I'm perfect. You know, and she's in a relationship with a man she's been with for 2 years, and it's her birthday. So the story starts off with her birthday, and it's something that was odd, but it happens regularly in a movie. Her mom comes over and presses her hair, like in the early morning hours. Like, they straighten her hair, she wraps it back up, she gets back into bed with her man, and her mom leaves.
Like Whitley Gilbert.
Yes, that's exactly what I thought of in that one episode. Whitley Gilbert, you know, wanted Dwayne to see her, wake up and see her
from
at perfection.
World.
Yes. And see her at perfection. So, okay, so let me stay with Napoli Ever After, because I'll go down the tangent of a different world. But so this is her birthday. She's expecting a proposal at her birthday dinner. At the birthday dinner, the family's around, the boyfriend's around. He gives her a puppy instead of a ring, and that sets off, you know, a breakup, basically. Mm-hmm. And he says during that breakup conversation, I don't even really know you. Like, we don't laugh, we don't have fun, you're always so buttoned up. It's felt like a 2-year-long first date, and that really stuck with her. So she goes through some changes. She changes her hair. She cuts it off and dyes it blonde. Then she ends up just cutting it all off one night when she's drunk, and then just kind of rediscovering herself and figuring out who she is and how she feels with a different hairstyle, without mm-hmm. the long, straight hair that she's mm-hmm. always had. So, which, you know, that causes some friction with her mom a little bit, because her mom's like, what? I didn't raise you like this and all that. And her mom and dad are divorced or separated because they've had some issues, too, with that similar thing.
So our topic today is our acceptance of ourselves based on how we are accepted by other people. And I guess in this movie, her other people was basically like men, what she thought men would think of her hair and how she had to be perfect for a companion and she couldn't do all of these things. And so she tried to fit into a mold of what she thought her partner would like.
Right. Hence why he felt like a 2-year first date, because, you know, on that first day we all bring our best, you know. You get your brows freshly done, your hair as much as you can, you put on your best outfit, you present yourself in a certain kind of way, like you're not farting on the first date. So when he says, I didn't really know you this whole time, you know, it's because she kept up that persona of perfection all the time, or facade, I should say, of perfection. And,
but I think some people could keep that up like forever. Like if you really want to, I mean, maybe not happily. I don't, you know, I think it can certainly be stressful to always be on, but I think if you make it a part of your routine, then, you know, then you're fine. And I think sometimes people, if that's really important to them, then they, you know, they make the time to get up and put on a full face and, you know, have their mm-hmm. hair a certain way, then yeah.
And, you know, some of that, I think, historically for women is well, basically historically that's what's been true for women in that whole thing of putting on a certain face and always looking put together and glamorous for your husband, you know, so that you can get a husband and then mm-hmm. for your husband. And when you go out in public or even at home, like my mom has told me and my grandma, like back in, you know, the 50s, 40s, 50s, women would wear, you know, dresses, but not just like a house dress, like a regular, a nice dress and, you know, makeup and things like around the house. And even on TV shows from back in those days, the women were never in loungewear and relaxed. Like, even if they were housewives around the house, they were wearing heels and pearls and makeup and dresses to vacuum the carpet and cook dinner and receive the kids home from school and the husband home from work and go out on errands. And
Let's just say that those women were highly stressed.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that they pass some of those beliefs of perfectionism onto their kids, which is what happens in that movie. And the crazy thing about that movie is mom couldn't keep her man by having straight hair and pressing it and
that's
all
exactly
this stuff.
What
like
I thought.
That stuff was not even as important to him as her being authentic.
Right.
Like whatever that was. So if that's your hair is naturally kinky or curly or whatever, I will take that over you being so buttoned up and uptight and you can't laugh and you can't do this mm-hmm. because these things don't fit into, you know, a certain type of pattern.
And so when the movie opens, her parents have been separated and it's not clear how long, but it hasn't been that long. Like they've mm-hmm. been married the majority of her life. So, and she's what, in her mid-30s. And one of the reasons why they're separated or during the separation, her dad has decided he wants to be a model. So he gets a campaign in like a Kmart or a Target type ad, and he's an underwear model. Well, you know, we do need older gentlemen to model underwear, to sell underwear to other older gentlemen. So, you know, and he had a good body for it, you know. So the mom was very uncomfortable with that. And one of her comments was, what are other people going to think about me? Mm-hmm. You out here wearing underwear on billboards and looking like, you know, old man buff and whatever. What they going to think about me and like what I've allowed in my marriage all these years?
A man that works out.
Right.
Like, why am I allowing him to work out and take care of his body?
Right. So that other people want to see it and get paid for it, you know?
Right.
And so at the end of the, are we talking about the resolution? Well, okay, I'm not going to talk about the full resolution just in case, you know, someone wants to watch it or is planning on watching it. But at the end of the movie, there's a scene where the parents who are still separated, there's a whole, like, you know, turning point in the movie in people's mindsets. And the mother's wig comes off. And her clothes are wet, her wig is off, and she's like, oh, my gosh, oh, I'm panicking. She's panicking, like, oh, you can't see me like this. Where's my wig? And he's like, hey, relax. Like, you're beautiful. And he's happy to see her, you know, like you said, with her wig braid back. Is that what you call that?
Yeah,
when you braid your hair back for a wig?
I often think when women are always in full regalia, like, what is that like for their partners to, like, wake up to them in the morning? I do think about that because it reminds me of, you know, Sanaa Lathan's character in this movie. Like, if you always have, like, your weave or your wig and a full face of makeup, like, I understand we're at work and maybe that's just what you do for work. But I do
right.
wonder, like, what does that look like at home?
Or around the house, going out for mm-hmm. errands. Like, if you feel like you have to put on a full face of makeup just to go to Target or the grocery store. It's like, sheesh, it take you forever to get ready for everything. And then it's so much scrutiny. And a lot of it is self-imposed. You know, mm-hmm. you're looking in the mirror. You're making sure everything fits right. Can't be any stains, any lint. Can't be, well, I mean, nobody wants holes and rips in their clothes. But, you know, your makeup, everything has to be done. The hair, it has to be right. Otherwise, you feel like, or you might feel like you can't leave the house. And then what does that do to your social life and your quality of life, especially with your partner? You know, if your partner is sitting around waiting forever. And, you know, I always feel like these things are definitely self-imposed by women, because it seems like you've heard this saying that women get dressed for other women.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of times men don't really care. I mean, they can definitely recognize someone who has put time into their self, you know, they're put together, but more so they recognize if you are confident in how you look. And they appreciate that more than someone who has had everything done to them, but is still unconfident and unhappy. And so
I feel like since my hair has been natural, which has been like 10 plus years, since my hair now has been natural, which has been like 10 plus years, I feel like men are nicer and more complimentary, just like.
I can agree with that.
Like, hey, sister, or, you know, like, hey, I'm feeling the fro. I like your hair. You know, just like, I don't know if I ever had a guy like, hey, I'm feeling the straight hair. You know, like, I don't ever remember a guy like saying that. But I think certainly.
To your face.
To my face. But I think there certainly are men who do not like natural hair. They just don't like it.
That's true.
But
in the movie that happened with her main,
fiance. Yeah. Well, I think he was more concerned about his parents.
Right.
But I think it's one of those things that you have to determine if you want to be yourself or if you want to play a character for a person.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you want to be yourself, then you have to find somebody who wants to see you as yourself and not somebody who wants, like, okay, I know your hair is natural, but I want you to wear it like this sort of thing. Because self-confidence is self-confidence.
Yeah.
You know, it's not from other people. Like, I feel good when I think I look good. And you know, I don't want to say it's completely based on a hairstyle, but hey, sometimes if I have a gray hair day, I'm like, oh, I feel good.
Yeah.
And so for me, that could be, I mean, you know, it depends. Maybe it is a bang. Maybe it is an afro. Maybe it is some twist. I'm not sure, but I think you have to define what that thing is and other people can't define that for you.
And, you know, there are people who like to wear wigs, and so they like playing the character of wearing different wigs, and that's their thing. It's not, like, they're not trying to cover up or present something that is not themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I agree with you. I had a fro for about 10 or so years, and now I have sister locks. I've had it for almost 5 years. And, yeah, I mean, I've never talked about my hair more or gotten more compliments on specifically my hair, but also what the hair does to my overall look and demeanor. And, you know, mannerisms. What am I trying to say? Not mannerisms. My overall look, I'll just say, leave it at that. Then when I got these locks, like, you know, dudes love it. Now, I did have one time when I had my fro and I was in a grocery store, and this guy asked me how long I was wearing my hair like that, you know, natural. And I told him, and he said, oh, okay, now, what made you do that to your hair?
So people,
I was like, what?
People respond more to your locks than your afro.
Probably so, only because I haven't had the locks as long as I had the afro. Mm-hmm. And I feel like, yeah, like I get more compliments in this shorter amount of time. And like, and even, you know, my guy, you know, he had locks. I didn't have locks. And he said, you know, you should get locks. Like, you would look so good with locks and everything. And so, and I said, well, I can't. I'm not going to get locks. I'm not ready. I don't want to get locks. You know, I just didn't want to get locks until I knew that I wanted to do it. And so that's what I did, and they do look awesome. I must say so myself. And for me, a lot more versatile than my fro was, you know. But we talk about hair a lot. And I don't think that's just a Black woman thing. I think all women talk about their hair a lot because I've been involved in conversations with white women about hair. But I know definitely Black women, we talk about hair a lot. And, you know, we have a book club. And one of our friends in the book club was white. And so every time we'd have our meetings, you know, we'd start our meetings, you know, chit-chat and everything and all that. And it was always hair talk, you know, talking about what product we're trying out or using or, you know, hair, you want to try this, it didn't work for me and stuff. And then I said, we talk about our hair a lot, don't we? She's like, yeah, you do. Every single meeting you talk about hair. I'm like, yeah, we do. But it is a big part of our life because
I have my whole product thing on lock now. Like, I don't.
It's
every
a science.
Once in a while, I'll buy a new product, but for the most part, I'm pretty consistent with the things I buy. I think sometimes, like my hair will change a little bit, so I'm kind of
yes.
I'm now to the point where I'm sold on what I have right now. Now next summer, if my texture changed or something like that, I'll have to try something new. But for this year, I've been very pleased with what I've been using, and I've been wearing my hair blown out, and I like that style a lot.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, you were doing a blowout thing for a while. Seems like you haven't. You've been doing the fro more recently, but the blowout was cool. Now, did you blow out yourself, or did you went to a stylist?
You're talking about
salon.
Straighten?
Yeah, when you
okay,
had
Okay, I'm considering a blowout afro.
Oh, okay. See, I'm considering a blowout when you were wearing it. I guess it was straightened, but it was still like a straightened afro. Like you had blown out your afro, but you didn't flat iron it.
Correct.
Right.
Yes.
That's a blowout.
Yes. Blowout. No. Well, sometimes a little bit of both.
Oh, okay.
So sometimes I will go to a stylist. Sometimes I will do it myself. It just really depends. Like if I get my ends clipped, I'll go to a stylist and just get it blown out. But,
Yeah, you know, see, and hair is a big part of our lives because it takes so much time. I mean, having these locks, I definitely save a lot of time on doing my hair. Like, I don't have to detangle. That took hours to detangle and try to style and get a YouTube hairdo. You know, and now when I say that, I mean, like, I would look at YouTube videos and tutorials or try this style, get this gel, and that stuff. It never worked on my hair. Maybe I don't know how to do hair. I don't know. But, To go back to our original question, is our acceptance of ourselves based on how we are accepted by others? I think for a lot of people, it definitely is. And if we're being honest, subconsciously, you know, even with us too highly, okay, I can't speak for you, but even with me as a very self-confident woman, I feel like, you know, underlying there are a couple of things where I might be like, And it's not even about me. It's not even about society so or, like, me or, like, say, my relationship, but, like, maybe, like, with my mom because I know that she didn't like the afro when I had it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I always knew that, oh, you know, mom's not going to like this afro. When I go home to visit, she might say something, whatever. It didn't really necessarily stop me from doing it or make me change it, but
I'm
always
completely okay with certain
like,
people, like, not liking stuff because it's kind of like, I don't like your hair either.
Yeah.
So it's like you're not... I will only be impacted if you are my prototype for what I'm trying to do. But if you're not, if you, like, have some hair and your ends are frayed and you're like, hey, I don't like your hair, I'm like, girl.
Yeah. Right. Yes, exactly.
That was a compliment. Great. Thank you.
I know. Yes. That's
I'm trying
exactly.
to look the opposite of you.
Right. So when someone does have totally, like, your style, like, you know, if your style is totally different and they say something that's a little off color,
yeah.
that may be taken more of as a jab than just a simple comment or whatever, it's like, well, we got different styles. You
right.
know what I mean?
So,
we got different. You got way more hang-ups about certain things than I do.
Right.
Like, I'm
right.
free. I'm relaxed. Whatever.
Right.
But it is, you know, it's, I don't know what I was going to say, what I was going to wrap up with that thought, but.
Well, yeah, I think a lot of what we just said, like, even us talking about, like, the compliments piece of it, like, that, you know, you were like, I like this hair, and, you know, you talked about, like, I get more compliments on this one than I deal with that one, and I think that helps you to embrace.
True.
You know.
Because if I didn't get none, I'd be like,
Right. Is this a good hairstyle for me?
Right. Is this not complimentary? Is it not flattering?
Right, right. But I think it adds to you liking it even more because people are feeding into
it
you, and you're like... Yeah, yeah, it is nice, right?
It is
nice.
Yeah.
And I think your confidence starts to shift. Like, I think sometimes people respond to my energy. And so, like, I could go somewhere and I know, like, my hair is on point. And I got my earrings and I got a cute popping lipstick. And,
you got good hair energy.
I got good hair energy. And people are like, hi, hey, girl. da-da. And it's just like I'm giving off this vibe of like, hey, girl. And, you know, people sort of respond to it.
That's
whether
true.
It's like, you know, more people speak to me or more people are just nice to me in that day. Like, I don't know what it is. It's just like a, I don't know.
We just coined something new. Good hair energy.
Good hair energy.
It's a spinoff of another kind of energy that's talked about out there. But good hair energy.
Good hair energy.
Yeah, when your hair is popping, you do carry yourself a little differently. Like, and again, when having the locks, I have more good hair days than I did when I had the fro. You know, the fro, it was just so much detangling. If I wake up and it's way too flat, and I'm like, I gotta pull this out, and what product is working right now, and what product is not, it's looking dry. You know, it's a lot easier for me to have good hair energy now with my current do. And yeah, if I got it pulled up in a certain kind of way, or if I did style, like braid it or do a braid out, and them little zigzags is popping, I'm like, I'm swinging my hair and stuff, swinging it around and all that. So good hair energy, that's real. All right, so Nedra, anything else?
No, I don't have anything else. You're going to say, what is your pack light tip?
Yes.
So my pack light tip this week is to sort of embrace where you are with your hair. And I think sometimes for some people that's having curly hair, that's having permed hair, that's having naturally straight hair, that's coily hair, is nappy hair, is all of those things. Just embracing whatever hairstyle you like. It could be a weave, it could be braids all the time, whatever it is, just embracing it for yourself and being mindful if you're changing your hair to fit certain people or to fit certain situations. I went to this training 2 days this week, not training, but a symposium.
That sounds sophisticated.
And, there were some talks just about, you know, Black folks changing their hair to go on job interviews.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And, you know, it made me think a lot about, you know, it kind of shifts your energy, too, just to, you know, well, I guess, you know, maybe at work, you know, maybe you do need to be a little more buttoned up and your lip don't need to be popping and all this stuff on the interview. I don't know.
See,
I'm a be yourself type at all times, but I could see how it could be reasonable, especially, you know, in certain more corporate and, you know, just different settings. Like, you may have to be less of yourself, especially to get a job or especially to, you know, get into certain circles. And, you know, maybe when you get home, you can take your wig off and have your locks under your wig or something like that. But just being conscious of when you're shifting into that space and, you know, not necessarily, I don't think it's anything to feel bad about, but it's just something to be conscious of. Like, you know, at times that's okay. And maybe all the time it's okay. And don't let anybody, you know, like hair shame you or anything like that. Because I think sometimes people can say like, oh, you got a perm? Oh, you got natural hair? You know, we have these things about people with stuff that they're doing that we don't do. So just, you know, be mindful of yourself and accept yourself as is.
Okay. Now, before I get into my pack light tip, yes, I'm glad you brought up about changing your hairstyles for situations like work.
I'm surprised you didn't say I stole your tip. That's what you said. I was going to say that. I should have went first.
No, because I had thought about what my pack light tip is already.
Okay.
And you didn't say it. So as you were talking, I'm like, yes.
I got more time to say something. Let me...
Time's up. Hashtag. So I had posted... So one thing that I do always feel a little conflicted or wonder about is how much hair tying up to do. You know, like, if I wear a scarf as a headband, I'm like, okay, that's a headband because my hair is still out. But if I do a turban, like, is that too much head wrappage for work? Is that, like, not a professional look or what, you know?
And what I posted is professional hair,
though? I don't know exactly, especially because I work in the school.
So for me, it's like when I hear people talk about hairstyles, like, what is professional hair? Why is professional hair straight? Why is professional hair not wrapped up? Like, what? I don't know. Those are just questions that I have. So yeah,
I think those are some very antiquated ideas of what professional looks like is, you know, being like a polished look, because of course your natural hair can be big and curly and you're still polished. So, but I've heard that corporate America, you can't do that in corporate America. But oh, there's a guy, he's a lawyer, a judge, something like that. And he has long locks, and he refused to ever cut them because he wants to show people, like people think, oh, you shouldn't have those locks. He's a black man. You shouldn't have those locks. You can't be a lawyer or whatever his profession is with those locks and still people take you seriously or you look professional. You're going to have to cut them at some point. When he was in school, you're going to have to cut them. And he's refused to cut them, and now they're long, and because he wants to show, like this is a part of my look. I'm manicured and professional. My hair is long, and it's locked up. So, okay, my pack light tip for increasing, I guess, your self-acceptance is to take in things that help you do that. You know, watch movies, watch TV, follow famous artists, musicians, actors, actresses, people who give off the type of energy and good hair energy and persona that you like, that you feel like you speaks to you. Like you said, Nedra, you said somebody who validates you. If they said something about your hair, I guess like Erykah Badu, if she says something like, I don't like your fro, and that might make you think twice about it.
I don't know.
But yeah. So look towards people who you feel like have the type of energy and persona that you feel like is you or could be you, so that you can help build your self-acceptance and your look, you know? And, you know, get ideas of how to style yourself so that you do feel good about it. And that's pretty much my pack like tip for that.
Good tip. Find models that fit
Oh, thank you for summarizing that so much better.
That's my job. That's what I do all day, reframing and rephrasing.
Okay. I like reframing things. You do that for me very well. I feel like I reframe other people's thoughts and things very well. Like, I guess I'm learning that skill and that energy from you, because I'm definitely like, whenever someone says, oh, it's cloudy, it's cloudy today, and I say, well, think about it this way. It hasn't rained yet, and you've gone through a lot of the day without rain. And if it does rain, we need it, you know? So I'm always like, reframe your thoughts a little bit. So, pack light.
Follow us on Instagram at Pack Light Podcast. Also, remember to review us on Apple, Stitcher, Google, wherever you listen to this podcast. All reviews matter.
It's real. Elevated elegance on another element. And she keep it genuine. Special dedication going out to my...